Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time to get brutally honest.
How old are you?
42.
You're a 42-year-old father of three, and your email sounds like you're a 14-year-old skid who smokes weed every day.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
More likely to be on a different team next year, Erik Karlsson or John Tavares?
They both will be.
Have to pick one. Quizmaster. Have to pick one.
I think they both are. You got to give me a both option.
I can't give you the both option, dude.
John Tavares. Yep.
I think Erik Karlsson.
You think this is over? After last night he declined to speak to the media.
Oh, that spoke volumes last night.
That was the missile.
If Karlsson didn't come out and say, no, every media member in the house, come down and catch me. I don't want to leave. I'm going to sign long term. I want to retire a senator.
I love Ottawa. My wife's from here. I want to stay here.
Instead, ninja dust. He disappears post game. I'm not talking to the media. That screamed at me that this guy either wants out or he knows he's getting out. Karlsson, as far as I'm concerned, is done in Ottawa. I don't think you can go this far without making that move either. We've learned from this in the past.
I don't want to give away the quiz, but I've seen this rodeo before. When Dregs gets called in here on an off day and Bobby Mack writes an article and he doesn't speak to the media, guess what's happening? He's leaving.
Yes.
He's leaving.
The question is, will Karlsson be dealt between now and Monday? That I can't guarantee. Nobody can guarantee. But I don't
think... Now we probably have to go to the draft, right?
Well, if he doesn't get dealt... Right? Because you have to believe that's going to be a big part of the conversation come the draft.
Our radio show going to the draft is all depends on the insiders, if they can pump up if enough is going to happen at the draft. If it's going to be a sideshow draft, we have to go there. I'll pay my own way. I'll go as an insider. I'll be on the floor. Would you not go?
I would love to go, yeah.
Me and you are going in Noodles.
Well, Noodles is calling the game tonight. It's on TSN 4 with the Islanders in town. But let's think about this, okay? Let's say Karlsson doesn't get traded between now and Monday. Come the draft, it's going to be all about Karlsson. Where's he going? When's he getting dealt? If Tavares doesn't sign long-term between now and the draft, at the draft, it's going to be, where's he going? Because the Monday after the draft, that's when I believe the window opens for pending free agents to talk to whoever they want throughout the league. So that'll be a big part of the conversation. Monday is meeting with John Tavares? That's insider heaven. The day after the draft, the window opens for pending UFAs to speak to whoever they want. You can't sign until July 1, but they open the door for you to talk to whoever you want.
By the way, that was such a joke. Like, there's so much tampering that goes on in all sports and... They just basically said, okay, you guys were talking. Let's let you talk now.
Well, and the same thing's going to happen here with the Karlsson deal. Technically, you're not allowed to speak contract extension with Erik Karlsson, whether you're the Ottawa Senators or any other team, until after July 1st.
You would have to.
You'd have to, and I guarantee you it's going to happen. Any team that acquires him will wink, wink, nudge, nudge with his agent and say, what's the deal here? You think we can lock him up long term?
Brian, I'm not giving up a big package for Erik Karlsson unless he's going to be a part of my team long term. I'm not paying that amount for 3 months.
Well, that's more than that, though. He's got another year on his deal. It's a year and a half. It's two runs. That's worth a lot. Like, this is Erik Karlsson. Like, I was thinking about it last night.
We talked about it last year. He's the third best player in the league. He's not this year, but...
He's been brutal by his own standards this year.
Dropped out of the top 25, basically.
He has not played well. His body language has not been good.
Garbage.
He's performed poorly defensively. He's looked careless at times. Like, it has not been a good run. But he's 26. The real Erik Karlsson is still in there. And it might just be a new atmosphere and a new environment that brings him right back into top three or top five player in the world category. And I don't think we can talk enough about this potentially happening. Like, this is not LeBron James, because nobody in the NHL right now is LeBron. Maybe Sid. Maybe McDavid can get there.
Can I put something in your pea brain? Look what Mike Babcock did to Jake Gardner. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I can't see an owner who has a PR disaster on his hands in Ottawa trading arguably the greatest player in franchise history in his prime to the team that the fans hate more than anything on earth. I just can't picture that.
Do you think that they wouldn't do it even if the offer was better or the deal was, they would say, I can't do this?
I can't picture them trading Carlson to Toronto. I just can't picture Eugene Melnyk
pulling the trigger.
Pulling the trigger because it's about money. He wants to make money, and a lot of this with the Bobby Ryan connection is about money, but I can't picture Melnyk being so tone deaf to his own fan base and to his own marketplace that they don't like the fact that this trade is even being contemplated to begin with. Carlson is, again, maybe the greatest player in franchise history, and he's still in his prime. You got an owner constantly talking about money, constantly talking about how he's losing cash, and he's not going to lose everything he's worked hard for here, and he wants a new rink, and the fans don't show up, and this, that, and the other. Now he's going to take another step and trade Carlson to Toronto? I have a difficult time believing that someone could be that tone deaf.
But don't you get the sense that Melnyk, of all people, he doesn't care about that?
He may not if he's getting out down the road anyway.
Like, I think back in the 80s or mid-80s, the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens, they would have said, I'm never making a trade with this team. But I don't think that. Dion Phaneuf got traded to the Senators.
But that was going the other way. That was going the opposite way. This is Carlson coming to Toronto. Toronto doesn't worry about Ottawa. With all due respect to Ottawa, like, Montreal is the long-standing rivalry. It always has been. It always will be. Ottawa is a big rivalry, but people in Toronto treat it differently than they treat Montreal. They treat the market differently, the fan base differently. They just do. It's just a reality. And people in Toronto, a large portion of the fan base, was waiting for Dion to go. They didn't care where he went. This is the opposite. This is the king driving down the 401 to a very different castle.
So what are your thoughts on the Leafs being very interested in McDonough? I like it.
I'd be careful with what I'm willing to pay. Very careful.
What do you think the price would be?
It's tough to say what they'd be asking for, but like,
what
I'm not.
It's Connor Brown, a third round pick.
Well, that's not what it's going to be. But if it was, I would probably do it. It's going to be more than that. With all due respect to Connor Brown, friend of the show, we love what he brings, what he represents. Connor Brown's a third line guy. McDonough's the captain of the team and Olympian, two-time All-Star. He's probably going to fetch more than that. But it's not including like Marner or Nylander. Not a chance. I'm not trading one of those guys for Ryan McDonough. Now, I would trade one of them for Erik Karlsson if I believed I could sign him long-term.
Yeah.
Like, that's the truth. Yeah, as much as I love Marner and Nylander, absolutely. If you're getting Erik Karlsson in, and I still believe, again, the real Erik Karlsson is waiting to return, and he will return, this is a future Hall of Famer. I know I throw that out a little bit too easily at times. This guy's a lock.
Lock.
He
I agree.
An unbelievable talent. And I don't want to hear, well, they need a shutdown guy. They don't want to bring in a guy. No, no, no. Don't give me that. Karlsson is a Norris Trophy-winning superstar.
Multiple.
Yes, multiple Norris winners. This guy is a superstar. And I know he hasn't looked great recently, but do not allow recency bias to change the overall reputation.
But don't you just said
validity
it. Don't you think the body
play?
Language of Erik Karlsson and his play this year, it's he's just somehow become, and we talked about it before, he married a girl from Ottawa. He just seems to be fed up with it. And I think it all stemmed from the owner's comments before that outdoor game. It just seemed like after that, he was like, screw this, man.
Wouldn't that piss you off? It would piss me off if I was a player.
If I was in line to sign big time, I'd be like, this guy's not going to pay me the money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Doughty came out with a comment saying, look, when I go to market, I'm going to get paid what I'm worth. And it was like, that was Melnyk's response. I'm not going to get rinsed by a bunch of hockey players in the business that I worked so hard for? He's leaving.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think, again, the fact that he said he's not talking to the media last night.
That's a big sign.
That says a lot. Because if you're committed there, you come out and you go, I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be here. I love Ottawa. I've always loved being a senator, and I want to be a senator forever. He didn't do that. Someone texting in saying the McDonough pill, no matter what the price would be much easier to swallow for the Leafs versus mortgaging your entire future for 15 months of Carlson. I don't think you would be mortgaging your entire future. And again, if you feel like you can sign him long term, it's not 15 months. Ottawa's in a bit of a difficult position here because the whole world is of the impression that he's not re-signing. So the clock is on for them to trade him, or he walks for free in a year and a half. So it's not as much leverage as you might think. Like, this isn't a grand slam, home run, unbelievable trade, unbelievable return, can't miss return for Ottawa. I'm not convinced of that. There's only a few players in the league where that would apply. And Carlson may have been there 2 or 3 years ago. He was, but he's not anymore.
Well, look what happened with Joe Thornton. You remember that?
They got nothing in return.
Hey, Wayne Primeau is a buddy of mine, but he's
relatively speaking,
center.
You know what I mean? Marco Sturm and
Wayne Primeau, Mark, pull up that trade and what was that trade? But I still remember, I think Harry Sinden might have been the GM at the time. I think he had a comment saying, I just traded Joe Thornton.
Let me find it here. Marco Sturm, Wayne Primeau, and Brad Stewart. Straight up for Jumbo Joe.
That's just one of the worst trades you can ever...
But the thing is, you could probably match it with the Sagan deal was brutal, in retrospect.
Who
out
came
of Boston.
Back from Dallas that?
Louis Erickson. I'd have to look that up. But it wasn't
That's
very good.
That's brutal,
That's
too.
What I'm saying. Like, Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. Right? Like, these are... Now, Carlson is on a different level than, maybe not Thornton, but what Sagan was at the time and what Taylor Hall was and will continue to be. Carlson is on a different level. But if everyone knows you got to get rid of him, or everyone knows he's going to walk, how much can you really realistically ask for? And furthermore, if the owner has come down to your suite, to the GM suite, and said, whatever deal you make, make sure that Bobby Ryan contract goes with it, What are you realistically going to get in return?
I would give him the middle finger emoji in an email. I'm not, no.
Who, the GM? You're saying Pierre Dorion should do that to his own owner?
No, the other guy. That if it's mandatory to take Bobby Ryan's contract, and by the way, I still think he can be a good player, but he can't stay
healthy.
But not
at that price, though. $7.25 million cap hit.
$7.25 is 30 goals and 70 points every year, isn't it?
Oh, it has to be. That's
but he
more
can't
than,
stay healthy, Brian.
No,
he lifts
I know
up
that.
His arm and touches the puck and his hand breaks. I don't know what you do about that.
Well, I know. That's where the Leafs come into play because they might be like, you know what, this is the second coming of Joffrey Lupo for us and we know how to make magic work around here. We can take that on. And then Lou Ray Jepsen starts chiming in and Bobby Ryan is never seen again.
I don't know if they can do it again, can they?
What's stopping the Leafs from doing it again? They may not want to, but... Cause
don't you find it weird how no one else has done it?
Like completely made a player just disappear and admit
All
that they're
summer,
not playing
I was
again.
Traveling and I met executives throughout the league and they were talking about some bad contracts and I go, do you not know how to make them disappear? They're like, nah, not really. I'm like, how come Toronto does and you don't? They're like, well, we don't know. It's almost like this unknown code that the Leafs can just make somebody disappear, but nobody else will do it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a Lou factor in there that he knows
there's
how to work it.
There's something weird.
And obviously the money, but they're not the only rich team in the league. There are a number of rich teams in the league.
No kidding.
I don't know. I'm not sure you can do it with Bobby Ryan because he's of a certain status of player and he's got 4 years left and... He's still in his 20s, I believe. Maybe he's 30 now. And he doesn't have a reputation as a bad guy or a guy who's you know, running wild off the ice or away from the rink. It's just simply he gets banged up too much.
And this guy brings up a good point. Toronto, Carlson is probably not going to happen. Matthews is going to want $11 to $13 million. So is Carlson. You want a Chicago situation where you got those two and then a bunch of stiffs?
But you wouldn't have a bunch of stiffs if the cap keeps going up.
If you bring in Carlson here and you sign Matthew, like Marner, Nylander, one of them's leaving.
One of them's going out for the sure. deal, you would think.
Then you got JVR gone, Bozak gone.
Komarov gone. You got Riley locked onto term. You got Zaitsev locked onto term. You got Freddie Anderson locked on term. You got Kadri locked on term. They get a lot of guys at pretty good numbers. Like, realistically, yeah, you'd have two guys who would be getting paid a boatload of money. And maybe a third who would be somewhere in between, whichever one stuck around, if it's Nylander or Marner. But after that, they don't have any anchors on this team. Kadri's locked in. Riley's locked in. Hyman and Brown are locked in. Zaitsev's locked in. Dermott's going to be on entry level. Like, it's not like you can get away with two guys who are making a lot of money, especially if they're this caliber. Like, the problem with Chicago right now is Jonathan Toews is not playing like he used to. He's not what he was.
I watched him last night, and it's not.
He's not the same guy right now. Now, maybe he finds it again.
Neither is Duncan Keith. Neither is Seabrook.
No.
Neither.
They're all in their 30s now. Matthews is 20 or 21. Matthews is going to give you full value for whatever you pay him. Full value. And I believe Carlson at 26, 27 will continue to give you value. Now, there's some red flags about the injuries that he's had. He's had some pretty significant ones. And this season has been a bad look for him. Now, we said this a couple of weeks ago. This is one of the worst seasons out of an elite athlete in his prime we've seen in a long time.
So there is a risk factor, too.
But I mean, think he's... You don't lose that talent and that ability in a year. In 60 games.
But what if
games?
Your body doesn't enable you to do it, Brian? What if your tendon and your ankle say, we know what's inside you mentally and physically, but this foot? No. It's out there. It's an option.
But what if that's what Ottawa's doing right now? What if it's not so much the owner or Carlson? It's they're looking at him. They're like, we can't pay him because he's not going to be worth that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a completely reverse look at it.
We know what he's going through game to game. We know what the surgeons have done, and we're not paying it. Somebody's gonna, though.
That's the truth, man. Money's getting spent. You better believe that. Anyway, Leafs Islanders tonight on TSN 4. Potentially John Tavares' last time at the ACC as an Islander.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, we feel like that might be the case. Dave Poulin will join us. Shea Weber shut down for the year.
Not
surprising.
Thing. Remember the Leafs? Shut down.
Well, you might as well go for the best pick now.
Oh, no kidding. Everybody that has an injury. Remember JVR? Shut down.
Yeah.
Everybody shut down.
Yeah. Well, and like Carey Price took a shot to the head the other day.
He shut down.
No. I would not play him.
Shut down.
Yeah, you're not playing anymore. Like, honestly, it's a weird vibe that you're sensing out of these Canadian teams that are dumpster fires this year. Why are you even attempting to win at this point?
You have no business.
No, you're brutal. You're done. Edmonton, Vancouver, Montreal, and Ottawa are done.
They're done.
They are finishing bottom six or seven in the league. Yeah, they will be. They're bottom six or seven in the
league. Anybody with any kind of injury, groin...
Out.
Out. You're done for the year.
Out.
Go on vacation. Do whatever. You're not playing.
No. Like, Buffalo and Arizona aren't going to catch them.
Don't you remember? They shut down everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Any nick or bruise, you're toast.
Toast.
See you later. Jump on Trivago and make plans because you're not playing with us anymore. What is the point? I know there's probably in Edmonton, there's an embarrassing element to it. Like, they've tanked before and they've won the lottery so many times. Like, and they got McDavid and Draisaitl. They don't want to give off this vibe necessarily. I could see them being more sensitive to that. But Vancouver, what are you thinking? If you're Vancouver, I'm not playing anybody if I can. I'm losing. I'm trying to lose every single night.
Every night.
Every night.
I want Dahlin.
That's a game changer. Like, Dahlin is that good.
Mm-hmm.
He's
Although
that good.
Although, for some reason, he can't play in the Olympics, which is just bizarre. Gord Miller's been talking about it at length. It's bizarre.
But that's the coach.
And they did it to him in the World Juniors in Montreal a couple years ago. Didn't go on the ice for two periods. They were down. third period, okay, get out there. It's embarrassing.
Well, how about that last night in overtime? Or no, right towards the third period, the Canadian player, was it in overtime? I can't remember. It was in overtime where they got that penalty. They get the power play, and they sent the defenseman out, and she hadn't played since the second period. She goes out there, blows a wheel, and then turns the puck over. I'm yelling at the screen last night at 2:15 in the morning. I'm like, that's not, don't put her out there. It's totally unfair to her.
I don't think Canada deserved to win that. I know people don't like to shoot out, but they didn't play that good.
No, the Americans were, I thought Canada played well in the first two periods. I thought they dictated pace a lot. They had chances. The third and in overtime, it was all the States.
Yeah.
Like, Canada had the Glenn Featherstone routine going a few times. Like, they were hunched over, exhausted.
And what a joke for an Olympic gold medal. We've talked about the World Juniors to end on a shootout. Like, Megan Augusta is a friend of mine. I like her. I love her. But why should she have that on her? I'm going for Canada. And it's all on her. It's like all of Canada saying, how'd you do that, Augusta?
Scored her first time, too, and it was a beauty.
I know, but can you imagine that, Brian, what she's thinking right now?
I just feel like the shootout has been a part of international hockey for so long. It's there. It's always been there. It's always going to be there.
Well,
I know we hate it, but why do we always complain about that? Like, it's been in the NHL for 12 years. And any shootout, we're like, I hate the shootout. It's like, I know, you said that 12 years ago. You've been saying it every single night for 12 years. Like, it's weird how we just keep complaining about something that we don't have the control to change.
But the one thing is, in the NHL, is it's gone after the regular season.
For the big moments, I know. And from an NHL perspective, you look at a game like that, and you're like, it shouldn't end that way.
No way.
I'm with you. Ideally, you keep playing. I was borderline passing out. I was exhausted at 2:30 in the morning, running on fumes this afternoon. But I think we're off to a pretty good start. Leafs Islanders tonight on TSN 4. Pierre LeBrun will be in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. So we'll keep talking about the Carlson-McDonough stuff, how the Leafs center into this. Tavares and the Islanders tonight. Freddie Anderson will play. This felt like a good opportunity for a McElhinney night. We'll get into that a little bit later on. And it sounds as if there could be some steam behind the idea of the NBA changing their playoff format.
I love LeBron saying, I'm fine with it. No kidding. You've gone to the finals.
We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it next. All right, Dave Poulin's coming up later this afternoon from Montreal. Get a read on what the vibe is like in Montreal leading up to the trade deadline and get his take on the McDonough and Carlson rumors. Also, Pierre LeBrun in studio later this hour, or later in the afternoon, I should say. Raptors back in action tomorrow night. Leafs in action tonight with the Islanders in town.
Speaking of Montreal, if you were Jeff Molson, what plan of action would you be taking?
I've said this before. I'm not allowing Mark Bergevin to return. I'm not letting him continue down this path. He's built this whole team. It's a disaster. I think they need new blood. I really do. I think they need someone in with a completely different vision and a completely different take. That would be my move. I think he's had a lot of opportunities. He's fired the coach. He's hired a coach. He's made a massive blockbuster trade, signed a massive contract to Carey Price. He's done a lot of different things. He's had a lot of time to find that center they've been seeking. I just don't think it's worked out. That seems pretty obvious to me. I don't see what the case is for Mark Bergevin.
They are a disaster.
I just don't see what the case is. I really don't. Like, I don't understand how you can walk in there and be like, you got to give me this opportunity to do this, that, or the other. The problem is that Carey Price is locked in for 8 years after this at $10.5 million, and I still think he has the ability to be a great goalie, to be the best goalie in the league when he's on. And if that's the case, that may change the way you're going to build your team. But I think they have to retool on the fly because of that. They got to do what Boston's done over the past couple of years. But their scouting, their development, by all accounts, has not been very good. They don't have a lot of talent in the minors waiting to move on up. So it's probably going to take a couple of years. But I think if you're going to start that new process, I would start at the top. All of a sudden, we've got some push behind the scenes in the NBA, the idea of restructuring the playoffs and the playoff system and the playoff setup. And this could apply to any league. And a couple of the ideas are pretty interesting. I'm going to throw one out there that I would love to see. It would be the epitome of made-for-TV. A made-for-TV event. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. All right, so we got into this last week when Adam Silver was speaking at the NBA All-Star Game, and he was open to the idea of altering the playoff structure in the NBA. And he said, we're not going to be slaves to history and tradition, and we're going to do what we feel is best for our fans, for the business structure, and if we can build more entertainment into this program, we're going to be open to it. Now, it's easier said than done, because the owners then have to pass on it. The players are going to have to be collectively bargained into it. But ESPN's reporting that there is steam behind the scenes pushing towards the idea of at least putting this on the table, a proposal of a play-in tournament in the NBA. It would be 2 4-team tournaments, so 4 from the East, 4 from the West, featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds in each conference. The 7th seed would host the 8th seed. The winner immediately gets the 7th seed overall. Then the 9th and 10th seed would play to see who would then play the 8th seed to see who would eventually get the 8th seed overall. So you'd have multiple games, but ultimately you're trying to build up some suspense in terms of chasing the playoffs, getting into the playoffs.
I like that idea. Because sooner or later down the line, it's probably not going to be right now with the domination of certain teams, but somebody's going to catch fire and do some damage.
I like it a lot for the NHL.
Me too.
Right now, I don't like it for the NBA because I think it's irrelevant. Great, you won in. Guess what's going to happen? Golden State's going to sweep you. Houston's going to sweep you. The Raptors are going to sweep you. And Cleveland's going to sweep you. Like, the NBA is a top-heavy league unlike any other league in sports.
But I like it in the NHL where a team that gets hot and is making a push.
Absolutely. I think that would be captivating television. It would be a captivating idea to find out who's going to get hot at the right time, who's going to get in, and build upon a Cinderella story for the ages. You were the 10th seed. You just got to the 10th seed the last weekend of the year. Then you won 2 games to get yourself in and knocked off Goliath in the first round.
Just think, a few years ago when LA won its first cup, they were an 8th seed. Imagine if they were a 10th seed and then just ran the table.
Or the opposite. Imagine they never got the chance because they were the 8th seed and they lost the game to play in. They ran into a hot goalie one night, and that just never materialized because they couldn't even go on a run.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think everything Adam Silver does has got some...
Well, he talks about it. He's willing to talk about it. He's got to follow through on it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he talks a lot about, hey, legalizing gambling, and we're going to push for that. And then when it happens, okay, well, let's see you really push for it, because I don't sense like you're doing a lot beyond just paying lip service to it and getting people to like you more because you're willing to be progressive. But the fact that they're willing to be open to this idea says he's further down the line than Bettman or Goodell would be in the NFL. But I've always liked the idea, if it's all about made for TV, which is an interesting phrase because there's an attack on TV now because of cord cutting and the prominence of Netflix and streaming and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. The truth is, live sporting events are still king, and they still generate a lot of interest and a lot of money for the leagues.
Yeah, and no matter how you get to them, they're still king.
They're still king. They're still out there. And it still is about trying to create made-for-TV events. Like, I think the NHL and the NBA having the draft lottery, those are two of my most favorite nights of the year. Just watching the lottery play out, just knowing that there is going to be at least one team, if not two or three, that are going to have their futures drastically changed.
And I'll be really into that this year because of Darlene and a lot of Canadian content.
Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, and Edmonton are all going to finish bottom six. We could have 3 Canadian teams in the top 3. Or outside of the top 3, then you really have a story on your hands because none of them got them. And it just is an all-around wasted season. But let me lay this out for you. And I understand it's probably never going to happen. But if I had my way, I would set up a playoff draft. And I would make it, I get rid of conferences, top 16 teams get in. And then starting with the top seed, they get to draft who they play in the first round. And they pick their team, and then the second team gets to pick. and the third team. So the top eight teams are picking. And the top eight teams are getting home ice. And I looked it up just using the NHL as an example. If the playoffs were to start tonight or the playoff draft were to happen tonight, you'd have nine teams from the West, seven teams from the East. Just based on points today. That might not include points percentages. It might be a little bit different. First overall would be Vegas. They get the first pick. The 16th team that just got in would be New Jersey. Could you imagine that TV event? Going into an evening where you're like, Vegas is on the clock. Who are they picking in the first round? And they step up and they go, we've owned the Kings all year. We're not taking Jersey, even though they're 16th. And based on points, they're supposed to be the worst team. We've owned L.A. We got home ice. We'll take the Kings in the first round. Boom, off the board. Tampa's up next. Tampa rolls in and goes, we dominate Philly. We'll take Philly.
Yeah, I like it.
How cool would that be?
I think it was goofy when I first heard it, but then when you presented the entertainment, like the NFL draft when it was in New York every year and the fans were going crazy.
How cool would that be? Imagine the Leafs coming up on the board and being like,
we want Montreal.
You got to take the Habs. You know, you got to take whoever it is. And then they don't take them and the controversy that comes out of it and puts pressure on the team to make the right pick. Because imagine you pick a team.
But
and
the only question I have is what happens after?
Well, you set up the bracket. So one goes here, then the two team goes here, the three team goes here, the four team goes here. And then you build around it based on the bracket.
Just when you advance.
When you move on to that, and then you play the...
So it's a one-shot deal, and then you move on.
Absolutely. You don't have to redraft every single round. Although that would be kind of cool, too.
No, that's too much.
Why is this too much? It's a made-up thing anyway. But I'm with you. Okay. For argument's sake, to try to make this one borderline realistic, it's a one-shot draft. Could you imagine the build-up to the playoff draft?
I think it's awesome.
How cool would that be?
I'm in. I'm all in. Let's get Bill Daly on the phone.
Well, they're not progressive enough.
Let's ask him what he thinks of it, though. He'll come on the show.
Well, here's the thing, though. In the NHL, I know what the reaction would be. We're not going to disrespect another team by picking them. We don't want to be in a position where it feels like we're disrespecting the team. And they'd all just go by the book. One take 16, 2-15, 3-14. It would be boring. In the NBA, though, I think they'd get crazy. In the NBA, I could see them getting crazy. Imagine you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm going to take a really good team in the first round because we're healthy. We got home ice, and I want them out. Imagine the stones that would take.
But what if it was something that where there was a layup? Like, let's just look at this scenario. If you're let's say Vancouver was one, and Florida was involved, and it was a slam dunk, but you didn't, like, do you want to go Van to Florida?
That's something you have to contemplate in the moment. Maybe you don't want
thinking,
that kind
I don't
of travel.
Want to fly down to Florida and do a series and knock these guys out. Maybe, let someone else do it.
Maybe you don't want that kind of travel. Maybe you don't, but it's something you have to consider because you're on the clock. And it's like a draft. You get 15 minutes to figure it out because you don't know who the team before you is taking.
Well, there's pressure points, man.
Oh, dude. Can you imagine sitting in the war room and you're like, all right, who are they taking? We're up next.
Well, what about if you pick a team and you get rinsed?
But that's exactly. That's guys a fireable offense.
Yes, guys would get fired.
It's a fireable offense. How could you pick that team? Yeah.
First round upset and you pick them.
You're done. Like it's never going to happen. But I think it would be brilliant.
I wouldn't say never, man. In this day and age where people always want to be entertained and do different things and they're bored easily, it's like, why not switch it up and do something crazy?
Well, what kind of attachment do we really have?
And by the way, this idea, we think it's fascinating because we love the drama, but ideally it's not ever going to happen.
Well,
something similar or to switch it up, the play-in thing.
Maybe you keep it in the conference. You know what I mean? There is some sort of combination of my idea and the play-ins where you can change up what has just been the norm for 100 years because we decided that was the norm. Like, how attached to you are you to the history of the playoff format? They change it all the time anyway. Wild card teams and playing within your division. Then it's 1-8 and... Fans will adapt, and if you throw them something that's interesting, if you allow them to be hyped for a big event and the fallout of that event, and you supply the content pushers like you and I and other talking heads with more material, they'll get behind it. I should be running the NHL.
I think it's a really cool idea. When I first heard it, I'm thinking, this is dumb, it's crazy, it's stupid, but...
The playoff draft. Leafs are on the clock. Give me Pitt. I'm going to knock off the champs with home ice.
We want it early and often.
We want Phil in the first round.
That's where, like, analytics people, which I think they're crazy with their ideas, where they could influence and say, our numbers match against this team. Go get them.
Oh, yeah.
And someone says, yes, yep. Go get them, and you just get your ass kicked.
I'm just all for the entertainment, man. I'm here for the entertainment. Here for the entertainment. Hook it up. All right, Dave Poulin from Montreal will join us. Antonio Daniels will join us as well, longtime NBAer. He'll check in on this Kawhi Leonard story, which is really strange. Like, he's been medically cleared to play, and he's just not playing.
Pop came out said yesterday and said, I don't know if he's going to play this year. What is going on there?
Well, it sounds like there's some animosity between the two parties. Because if the Spurs are like, dude, you can play, and we're a playoff team, and we need you. You're arguably the best all-around player in the NBA. Get back here. And then Kawhi Leonard's like, no, I'm good. And Pop's like, he's not coming back. They still got 20 games left to go.
Any other organization would have been 2 weeks earlier, get in, like, early. And this guy's cleared to play, and he's not playing?
By all accounts.
And they're saying it will not happen the rest of the year?
Something's going on behind the scenes. And that's just going to add to the intrigue of this upcoming NBA offseason. LeBron's going to be a free agent. Paul George is going to be a free agent. And now, potentially, Kawhi Leonard's going to want out. The NBA is going to own the summer again. That's why Carlson's got to get dealt. Tavares has got to leave. The NHL, this is an arms race. You got to keep it interesting. All right, so we'll tell you more about that in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. I'm getting a lot of feedback here. A lot of people on top of my idea, liking the idea of a playoff draft. Top six teams get in. Top 16 get in the NHL, in the NBA, using those two leagues as the primary examples. First overall picks first. If they take the second overall team in the league, which they'd be crazy to do, but let's say they do, all right, then the third overall team, you're on the clock. Pick whoever you want, 1 through 16. And then you set up the bracket from there, and then you open up the idea of any combination of an NBA Finals or a Cup Final. Any combination. Which is what I'd like to see more than anything else. That's why I'm a big proponent of even getting rid of these crazy ideas. Like, forget the draft, forget the draws or whatever. Just 1 through 16 as opposed to two different conferences. So it opens the door to bitter rivals playing each other for the ultimate prize. Toronto-Montreal at some point. Rangers-Islanders at some point. Anaheim-LA at some point. Like, one of the coolest sporting events I've experienced throughout my lifetime was the Subway Series in 99, Yankees-Mets. I'm not from New York. I've never lived in New York. I don't care for either team. In fact, I hate the Yankees, and I don't really like the Mets, but I couldn't get enough of that. How could you not be intrigued by that, captivated by that idea? I mean, incredible. So we'll see what Dave Poulin has to say about that. We'll get back into the Carlson rumors, the McDonough rumors. Leafs in action tonight. Could this be the last time we see John Tavares in an Islanders uniform at the ACC? And we'll get into the NBA as well. Raptors back in action tomorrow night, post-break against Milwaukee. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.